Afternoon. If you just joined us, glad you could make it today. Bill Buckley with you until 2, and you're just in time for Fevzi Turkalp, a.k.a. the Gadget Detective. Don't forget, you can always follow him on Twitter, at Gadget Detective. How are you doing, Fevzi?
I'm very well, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Let's start with your tech story of the week, which is robots, which might be able to identify mental well-being issues in children.
Yeah, so this is quite interesting, and I think it's a pointer to the future, frankly. Mm. It's some research from Cambridge University researchers that use a child-sized robot, about 2 feet tall, humanoid shape, mm-hmm. To help children complete a series of mental health questionnaires. And they questioned 28 children aged between the age of 8 and 13. And they asked the questions, and the child would either respond verbally, or it could squeeze the hands or feet of the robot to answer the questions if they didn't want to, you know, say it in words. Mm-hmm. Also, it was measuring their various sort of biometrics like heart rate, gaze, that sort of thing. And what they found was quite interesting, that in the case of some children, they would tell the robot things that they wouldn't tell a person, mm-hmm. or even an online questionnaire. And you know, it's interesting to sort of theorize as to why that might be. Some people think, well, the robot is small, it's non-threatening, it's almost like them, it's like their size, a confidant sort of idea. You know, but also that maybe that they thought they wouldn't get into trouble because they were telling a robot, a bit like confiding in a toy, right?
I think this is human childish nature since time began, don't you? I mean, isn't that what teddy bears were for example, largely? Telly troubles
exactly.
too, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Makes
yeah,
sense.
No, exactly. And before you know it, the American president knew what you were confessing. But
oh, lovely historical reference there. Very nice. Carry on.
So it's kind of interesting, you know, the fact that they track the participants' heartbeat, head and eye movements. It reminds me of, you'll know the film Blade Runner, mm-hmm. where they have this test. They called it the Voight-Kampff test. And it was designed to provoke an emotional response, as the saying went, and you could tell who was a replicant and who was truly normal human, as it were.
Right.
And this sort of idea that, you know, our bodies give off all this data that we're not aware of, all this information about ourselves, is really, you know, it's quite interesting. And this is not completely without precedent, because the Samaritans, I think, in conjunction with an organization called Shout, do text support. So, you know, people can ring the Samaritans. Is it all right if I give the number, by the way?
I'm sure that's a useful public service thing to do.
Well, just whenever we mention the Samaritans, I give the number. 116 123 if you want to telephone. But the Shout number is, and I've checked these numbers, trust me, they're correct, 85258. That's for text only. Yeah, and Shout, it seems to be linked, because they have their own website, but they're linked to from the Samaritans website. And they found that, because although, I think, oh, it's a bit dark this, isn't it? Although 3/4 of suicides are male, the number of people calling the Samaritans are overwhelmingly female.
Doesn't surprise us, does it?
No, and that's
men
why,
just won't
they're not
talk about stuff. And
yeah, yeah. So, but what's interesting is the text-based service is used by more men.
Ah.
It's more popular with men.
Right.
So there is something to this idea of, you know, maybe not feeling able to talk about issues to another human. And I do rather wonder whether, you know, where we're going with this, because I do feel that we will get, you know, AI programs, and, you know, that some of them will be in robotic form, who will act as psychologists and will help us, you know, just in the way that, you know, in the first industrial revolution, you know, certain manual jobs disappeared.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You had the Labbites and all of that. But with this revolution, it's a whole new tier of jobs that will go, and the ones that we don't think of as being easy to mechanize, as it were. So doctors, lawyers, judges, surgeons, mm-hmm. You know, all these sorts of things, you know, things that we think of as being, you know, innately human activities will not be. And we will have to answer the question, we'll have to ask and answer the question, you know, what should human existence be? Because most of us have had to work for a living, and there are some companies now experimenting with a living wage for just being a citizen, not job seeker's allowance, just a wage. Because if you replace all the human workers and no one's earning any money, who's going to buy the products and services of these companies, mm-hmm. and with what? Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that some of the savings that companies can get by automating their workforces, and look at Uber has invested hugely in self-driving vehicles, for example. So you'll have all these cab drivers without their jobs in the not too distant future. So it makes sense to share some of that wealth generated by these companies. So the money goes around in a circle. It's not really real.
Got it.
But, you know, it's kind of interesting. These sorts of stories, they just trigger in me, you know, just looking into the not distant future. You know, you don't need to be a futurologist to see this. You can see 5, 10, 15 years ahead. It's quite clear what's happening.
You and I have touched on this before several times, obviously. And I have to say, I do sometimes find myself thinking about our conversations subsequently and quite deeply, and that must be true of some other people that listen to your sometimes sort of jaw drop inducing things that you tell us. And
I'm sorry if I give you nightmares. I do apologize.
You do occasionally, but with this one, my initial reaction was, you know, you must have a human mind in charge of something as important as whether a person goes to prison or not, or whether their surgery happens or not. But you know, the more I think about it, you want precision, don't you? You want to remove the human fallibility from a scalpel going into human flesh, for example, if you possibly can. So maybe I'm worrying too much.
Yeah, I mean, we already rely on machines for scans. You know, we don't just sort of prod people and say, does it hurt here? We do MRIs and CTs and all these sorts of very advanced scans. And we don't think that, you know, that's replaced the doctor. Mm. But the thing is, with regard to, you know, judges and so forth, one of the things that's lacking in the legal system, despite guidelines, is any sort of consistency. And that doesn't mean that everyone should get the same sentence.
No.
But that the guidelines are not being applied consistently, arguably.
Yeah.
So
it would solve that as a distress.
Yeah. I mean, it will get... It's very interesting, all of this. Like, we talk about self-driving vehicles, for example. There was some research recently that said that even if self-driving vehicles were on average safer than the average human, that there would still be problems with a large portion of the population accepting them, because mm-hmm. the accidents they would be involved in would be different in nature. Uh-huh. And therefore, there will be cases where the machine done it, you know, be blamed.
A human
for
would
it.
Never have done that, therefore humans are
better. We go back to our Luddite instincts, which are, of course, completely understandable, because they're a form of survival instinct. But it is difficult. But with a surgeon, as you said, you know, precision is key. With diagnostics, if a program has access to literally millions, if not billions, of scans, you know, in its data bank, and it has the wherewithal to draw upon that knowledge and infer findings from the data of an individual scan, if it has the ability to look at a person's DNA and provide a treatment plan based upon their entire medical history, whereas human beings, frankly, have a hard time not prescribing penicillin to people who are allergic. I mean, when a complex patient sees a doctor and that doctor hasn't seen them before, there's a statistic that says that if a complicated patient, which is most patients of a certain age and certainly some younger patients, if they don't see their own GP most of the time, their chances of an unplanned hospital admission are hugely greater.
Yeah, makes sense. Because
when you have an 8-minute consultation and you're complicated, you can't possibly explain to that doctor everything about you. Your medical records are probably not even available because they've been hacked and still not online. You know, all of this. Mm-hmm. So... Right. I see an interesting future.
Optimistic. Yes, Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, with us at the moment. You can subscribe to his podcast for free, by the way, at the website gadgetdetective.com or on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. On to Gadget of the Week then, Fevzi. What have you unearthed this time?
Okay, this is possibly my favourite security camera. It's called the Arlo Go 2. Arlo is the brand. It's ARLO. and it's called the Go 2, it being the replacement of the Go. And it's a security camera. It's connected to Wi-Fi, and it, you know, streams images and all of that standard fare. But it has a pretty unique and special trick up its sleeve. It's got a SIM card slot. You can actually put a SIM card, like similar to the ones that will go in your mobile phone, into this. So if you are in an area, or if the phone is in an area where there is no Wi-Fi, for example, an outbuilding, you know, someone keeps breaking into your tool shed, you want to just do it at the bottom of the garden, watch the wildlife, whatever it is, or you want one that will have a fail-safe. So let's say you use it in your home as a security camera, but then your Wi-Fi goes down, and it's not unheard of for people to cut phone wires before they break into properties, and then, you know, the Wi-Fi would go with it. Then it switches seamlessly to the 4G network, and it continues to work, and it continues to stream. It's got a memory card inside it, so you've got the SIM card slot, and you've got a memory card slot, so you can store all the information locally, so you don't have to have a subscription. But if you have a subscription, then you can view the footage remotely online. You don't have to go and pull the card out of the device. It's got a built-in siren that can be triggered remotely to scare people away if you want to scare an intruder. The video is quite crisp at 1080p. That's full HD resolution, which is, I think, about as high as you want to go for something that's using, you know, the 4G network at the moment. The only thing I wasn't completely enamored. Oh, one other feature, sorry.
Yes.
It has an internal battery, so you charge it up, but it also can, you can also attach a solar panel to it.
So it can
charge up the battery.
So very de nojure, yes.
It could go indefinitely. Do you know what? I would have loved to have one of these years back. I used to visit a grave, and I always used to find that the grave had been struck by a vehicle. The grave was on a corner, and there were these like bolt marks around the wall around the grave, and it kept happening, and no one would admit to it. No one, you know. And I wish we could have found it. In the end, we found out it was dustbin trucks turning the corner and demolishing the wall of a grave. So something like this in the tree, you know, would have been absolutely ideal. The thing about it that I would have liked to see, and perhaps say, you know, they might look at this next time. Some cameras have the ability to mount using a powerful magnet onto a metal surface, like a garage door or something like that. This doesn't have that. You have to screw it into position, which is a shame, because one of the nice things about a camera like this is you should be able to move it from location to location, you know, as your needs develop, you know. So you might have a particular problem, you might want to do that. But still, this price is $279.99, commonly sold for less than $250, 4.5 stars out of 5.
Which is a remarkable rating for you, because you never give 5, and yet here you've identified something that could be improved, but it's still got your top mark.
Because it's got that, I think, pretty much unique feature of this sort of failover. So it's got Wi-Fi and 4G and the ability to switch seamlessly between the two. That's quite special.
That's enough that
means that this camera can be used in locations where most other cameras cannot.
Okay.
And for that reason alone, it qualifies.
He's given its top mark. And that's the Arlo Go, the number 2, not Go TO.
Exactly. Arlo Go, second generation. Arlo Go 2.
Very
so the one didn't have Wi-Fi, it was only 4G, but this has got both.
Well, they can say 4 stars, maybe it's only 4 stars as well from Fevzi.
Made
all the difference.
But, you know, it's quite a remarkable device, and you know, people may not be familiar with the Arlo name, but it actually is a very well respected manufacturer of these sorts of products. They pretty much specialise in these sorts of security devices.
Lovely job. I'll leave you to have your cake now. What cake are we on this week, Fevzi?
We've got a Colombian coffee cake.
Colombian coffee, how very specific. Enjoy. Talk to you in 7 days' time.